This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Tuesday. Exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
He lines up under center over the left side and he is in for a one-yard touchdown run. Josh Allen's first rushing touchdown since week one. Play clock down to five. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Bills are in the blitz. And A.J. Epinesa has arrived in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. It's another sack. Back to pass. Pocket collapsing. Allen squirts away from it. Throws to the end zone. And it's caught for a touchdown. Dawson Knox with the 12-yard touchdown reception. Rogers looking to load up. Fires deep, rainbow down the field, looking for Mike Williams, and it's intercepted! Taron Johnson, welcome back! A humongous interception by the nickel corner!
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
And Josh, I love it. You are surprising me in a, such a good way today. First of all, I like this tune. I like the song. But I will also tell you, I heard this song so much this weekend. Because whenever you go to New York, all right? If you go to New Jersey, New York. So we go to New Jersey this weekend. Bills are playing. So get there on Sunday. You have all Sunday evening. And what I like to do, my buddy Bill Whippert, who is the photographer for the Bills and Sabres, we like to hang out a lot when we go to New York. It's just kind of our thing. We always kind of go in and take the subway in and walk around Manhattan. The hotel we were in was in Jersey City, and we go in. But when you walk around Manhattan, street vendors, people with things they're trying to sell, this song is playing everywhere. Like, they all have this song playing. So I heard it all weekend. And now the Bills get to own it as their own because a New York team won over a New Jersey team. I mean, I wasn't even going to talk about this today. I didn't think about it. But I'll start with this because it's on my mind that you're playing this. Josh, did you see the Bills tweet last night after the game? Elite, elite tweeting.
I did. That was a great, great tweet. I loved it.
It was awesome. I'm going to tell you what it is right here. Let me get the exact wording. Was it? Here we go. Okay, so last night, after the game, get on the plane, about to take off, and I look at my Twitter feed, and here it is. It says, let me give it, basically what, great weekend for New York teams, right? I'm trying to find it now. There's so much stuff before that. Sorry. I thought I'd get to it a little bit quicker here. What was the exact tweet? I don't even know. I have to go back and look. Anyway, I sent it to a couple people on the Bills social media team last night.
I've got it.
Really
good. I've got
here
it.
We go.
A great night for New York sports.
Thank you. A great night for New York sports. It's got a picture of the Mets winning, a picture of the Yankees winning, and a picture of the Bills winning. That is elite-level trolling.
I mean, hey, they had to get back on the horse a little bit because between what Houston tweeted after the Bills lost to Houston, what the Devils tweeted after the Sabres lost to the Devils, they definitely got back a little bit.
There is some social media barking going on in sports big time right now, right? It's like, who can social media the other better and troll each other a little bit better? We're not trolling you today, though, by telling you the Bills are back on the winning track. 23-20 last night over the New York football Jets. It wasn't, I hate using the phrase, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't, because it was ugly at times because of the officials and the disjointed nature of the game and a lot of mistakes made. It wasn't the cleanest, most incredibly well-played game, but a lot of really good things happened, too, for the Bills. But most importantly, they get out of there with a win. They escape from New York, as Kurt Russell once did as well, with a win. 23-20 on Monday Night Football, national stage. Aaron Rodgers head coach change for the Jets. Lots of different things going on in New York surrounding the game. And somehow the Bills get out of there with a victory, and you'll take it. Winning like that is still way better than losing and saying, oh, wow, you look really good, but you still lost. No. Week-to-week league, you take a win any way you can get it. And it's not like the Bills played terrible. They did not, but they certainly made a handful of mistakes. And we're here to talk about it all day today on a Buffalo Football Tuesday. It is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show and, of course, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. On a Tuesday after a game, Victory Tuesday, I'm actually wearing my Victory Monday shirt because I don't have one that says Victory Tuesday. So here you go. You can look at it. You can see me. Say hi. We are on the WGR Facebook page, facebook.com/WGR550. Welcome in. Hi, I'm Sal. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. You can comment right there on the Facebook page if you want. I can't comment back to you. I'm doing the show right now, but you can do that with all the fans who are interacting and watching. You can also just listen to the next 2 hours, and you can call. It's your chance. I have open phone lines right now. Last week was just bam, 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 bam. That's what happens after losses. It's just lit up. The phone banks are lit up like a Christmas tree. I have a couple of screens in front of me, and the phone lines light up, and they're different colors based on how long you've been on hold, if you're next up, if you're on the air, and it's just like a Christmas tree. There's red, there's green, there's white, there's orange, but not right now, so let's make it happen. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Tuesday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. 2320. I do not want to start with negatives because you win a game in the NFL to move to 4-2 and take a stranglehold in the division, which we'll talk about later and where the Bills stand. I don't want to do that because it's just, it's negative. It's not where you should start, but there are lots of negatives that you can get to that you will want to. The Hail Mary, the kicking game, no doubt about it. How about we start with the positives though? How about we start with this team winning a game that it just seemed like was slipping away from them time after time after time. And if you're a Jets fan, you're probably like, how did you not win that game? Think about it from a Jets perspective today in New York. I watched and listened to some of the media last night on the way back. Landed here in Buffalo at 2:35 in the morning last night. It was a fairly long bus ride compared to normal to the airport from the stadium. So I'm kind of consuming some of the media surrounding the game, the end of game. You know, obviously I'm in the press conferences and the locker room, but I'm watching some of the other, you know, analysts that are coming on, and analysis, I should say. And a lot of it was the New York media saying, look, it was right there for the taking. They didn't take it. And I agree. The Bills gave them opportunities, but the Bills also clamped down a few times they needed to clamp down, and they deserve to have credit for that. Let's start with Ray Davis. Let's start with the rookie. Wrote about him at Arrow Up, Arrow Down. Make sure you check that out, WGR550.com. Arrow Up, Arrow Down. I do it after every game. And Ray Davis leads off the way. I mean, this kid was fantastic last night. He ran physical. He caught the ball 20 times, 97 yards. That's how many runs he had, 20. 4.9 yards a carry. He had three targets, caught them all. One was a really great catch and a busted play kind of from Josh Allen, rolling right, the typical Josh Allen, look downfield, throw it as he's getting to the sidelines. Ray Davis catches it. That one goes for long yardage. He winds up with 55 total receiving, 153 total yards from scrimmage. Doesn't find the end zone on the night, came very close on the very first drive. But a huge positive for the Bills. Look, I can be the guy sometimes who goes back and reads some tweets from earlier in the week and kind of responds afterward, but I get it. You're in the moment. I'm going to tell you how many tweets I had, how many people on social media who tweeted at me earlier this week when they saw James Cook wasn't practicing and Khalil Shakir wasn't practicing. Just wait. One person even suggested in my social media feed that they should bench Josh Allen for the game to keep him healthy because they have no chance of winning without James Cook or Khalil Shakir. And obviously Shakir played. I mean, what are we doing? It's the NFL, man. That's why you develop players. That's why you draft guys and you put them in positions to hopefully have success. And Ray Davis took it, snatched it, and absolutely ran with it. Literally and figuratively. Terrific game for the running back, the rookie. But no, he's not going to be supplanting or should be supplanting James Cook. James Cook is still really good, and the Bills need him. But I will say this. This was the kind of game and the kind of matchup that was very beneficial for a guy like Ray Davis. Physical, run right at the Jets. They are not a defense you need to toy around with. They'll make you pay. You run right at them, you're physical with them, you show that you're there to match them and play bully ball. And they bullied them on the first drive of the game. Absolutely set the tone for the game. Opening offensive series for the Bills.
Hey, Sal.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport.
Yes.
The Raiders are completing a trade of Davante Adams to the Jets. 4 minutes ago.
Okay. There it is. Thank you for interrupting me on that. Davante Adams going to the New York Jets. All right. What's it going to do for them? What's it going to do for the Jets? I don't know. Rich Cimini also reporting it as well. Raiders completed a trade for, let's see what they're giving up. Let's see what they're getting back. Davante Adams. All right, we could talk about that as we go forward here today. But the physicality of the first series mattered a lot for the Bills. They set the tone early. 9 plays, 8 were runs. The one pass was Dalton Kincaid. He should be on angry runs. Dalton Kincaid needs to be on angry runs from Kyle Brandt this week. Boom, boom. Maybe it was basically Ray Davis, though, just boom, boom, the whole way down. First run of the game, it wasn't a boom, boom. It was outside. It was 12 yards. Ty Johnson sets the tone. I love when I get a chance to say this sometimes, okay? If you're a young person who plays football, you should be in school right now, all right? But if by chance you're listening, if you're a parent who coaches or has a kid that plays, if you're a coach, Ray Davis last night, this little coaching point I love to bring up when I see it. Anybody who plays running back has the ball in their hands, quarterback, wide receiver, whatever. If you coach someone, you have a kid that plays, tell them to watch Ray Davis falling forward every time he's going down. He's always falling forward. He was last night. Those hidden yards matter. It looks like a 2-yard gain. It's a 4-yard gain. It looks like 5. It's 6. Because he's always falling forward. His pads are moving forward. His legs are moving forward. Ray Davis gave the Bills so many hidden yards last night just because he was falling forward. Great coaching point to give to everybody out there. Taron Johnson and Taylor Rapp, the return of both of them. How massive was it? Taylor Rapp and Taron Johnson both tied for the team lead with 8 tackles. Taron Johnson with a very athletic interception towards the end of the game. Talk about hidden yardage. The other way was hidden yardage from Taron Johnson. A few times he filled run gaps, which pushed the running back to a different spot that allowed someone else to make the tackle. Those are huge. Taylor Rapp, 3 immense pass breakups, including 1 in the end zone, 1 near the end of the game, 1 in the red zone where he almost intercepted it if he would have looked up maybe in time and located it. Either way, great game from Taylor Rapp. They needed him. They missed him. Against a veteran like Aaron Rodgers, he was a key last night. Now the negatives, which we could touch on. The kicking game is a problem right now. Tyler Bass is an issue right now. And I don't know the answer because it's not as simple as just cutting him. Sure, you can do it. You can make it that simple. Who's going to be someone you trust just as much? I'm telling you, if they brought in a kicker from the street today, I'm having the same feeling he's running on the field as I am with Tyler Bass right now. I'm like, I don't know if he's going to make it. It has to be addressed in some way. I don't know the total answer, and they have a lot of money invested. I don't think that should be the reason you do or don't make a move, but it has to factor in, I think, to how the Bills are going to approach this. And, of course, the Hail Mary. There are 2 parts to this Hail Mary. Number 1, rushing only 2 players and putting defenders on the outside to guard against the sideline. Okay. I actually have no problem with putting defenders on the outside. The Bills were actually banking on, we'll give you the Hail Mary shot because there's such a less chance to complete it, versus we're not going to give you 5-6 yards, get out of bounds, and have a field goal attempt. I understand that. Because if they give them that, the same people who are complaining about the scheme are saying, how did you give them the outside? The issue was maybe who you had in those spots and then who you had defending. So it's certainly worth a discussion and a criticism on how the Bills defended it. But you got to put some on the players, folks. You got to knock it down. You learn that when you're in Little Loop in high school. I made the mistake early this morning. I apologize. Someone brought it up to my attention. I said, Alan Lazard isn't like this big guy like DeAndre Hopkins. He is a lot. He's actually taller than DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins looks like so much more lengthy and tall with his arm and his length. So my bad on that. But the point was, Hopkins high points the ball as good as anybody. Lazard didn't even high point it. He went up. He let it bring to his body. You got to knock that down. Not a good job coaching in that situation. Not a good job defending and executing in that situation. Both can be true. Either way, it allowed the Jets back in. I mean, it was a complete control for the Bills up until that point. And then things changed, and it could have really been disastrous. But listen, this game was filled with more good than bad. Way more good than bad. Yeah, there were issues. The penalties, the kicking game, the Hail Mary. There were issues. There are things that have to be cleaned up. There was a lot more good from this game than bad, and that's why the Bills are 4-2 today, atop the division by 2.5 games, and they win 23-20. In case you just didn't hear it a minute ago, Devontae Adams getting traded to the New York Jets. We'll see what they're giving up in compensation, how the money works, but that is the deal being reported by Ian Rappaport and others.
From Rappaport, it sounds like a conditional third that could become a second based on performance. And another report from Adam Schefter saying that it sounds like the Jets are taking the entirety of the salary.
Wow. I mean, Jets are all in. They've been all in, and so far it's busted out for them. All right, let's start it off here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Tuesday with Angelo in West Seneca. Hi, Angelo. Go ahead.
How you doing, Sal?
I'm good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Three things. First and foremost, Bass. He's got to go. Number two, Hamblin. I don't know how long they're going to stick around with him either. And number three, the penalties. Something has to be done with the NFL with these penalties. They dictate the game every game that we watch. They dictate it. It's almost like they want the game to go longer so people still watch or something. That's all I got. I don't know.
You don't have anything positive from a win last night?
Well, I mean, they look pretty good.
I just want to make sure. I mean, like I said, there's a lot more good than bad. I know we're going to get a lot of the negative and stuff, but they did win 23-20 last night. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure. It's okay. I'm just giving you the chance to do it if you want. What'd you like last night, Angela? I'll do it that way. What'd you like last night?
The last two games have just been so negative. I'm glad they won. But
yeah.
You know, the defense, the run, they're 32nd in the league against the run.
They are.
That's got to change.
Sure.
I mean, getting Johnson back and Bernard is great, too. That's a big difference. You could tell right there.
Yeah, I didn't think that they got gashed on the ground last night, but the numbers weren't great. 5.8 yards a carry is way too much. But, like, other than the Ravens game, the run defense hasn't really killed them in games. It hasn't cost them games. The Ravens, it did. They're giving up way too many yards per carry, but that's the way the structure of the defense is. They don't want to get beat throwing the ball. And, look, Aaron Rodgers actually did throw the ball well last night. So, you know, to me, if you're going to pick one or the other, I'd rather get run on than throw on in this league now because, you know, you have these great quarterbacks who can make all these great plays down the field, and they made a few last night. But it is something that has to change and be better. It didn't seem like the Jets ran off. Like, they had some chunk plays, there's no doubt. But it wasn't like they were getting gashed on the ground all night. I didn't think the Bills were. And then I look at the end of the game, I'm like, 5.8 yards a carry. That is far too many. And they do have to clean that up for sure. Rob in Toronto. Hi, Rob. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
I just wanted to touch on a few things. So, positives. One positive is I believe Aaron Rodgers is the new scepter holder for poster child of people you can root against, taking over Tom Brady's longstanding position. A win is a win within the division. Yeah, it was ugly at times, but, I mean, the division is ours for the taking. I'll champion the defense for just timely plays, stepping up, making some crucial plays at crucial times. Yeah, we gave up some points. We gave up some yardage, but they were there. I love seeing Knox get more involved. And can you imagine what this team will look like if our defense gets healthy and all pieces in place for January? The one negative, I got to tell you, Sal, I watched the game with my father. He's the world's biggest pessimist. And I sat there defending them all first half and then 8 seconds. Have we not learned any lessons on Hail Marys. How do you rush two and just let Aaron Rodgers sit back? That is egregious to me. Like, yeah. I can't defend that kind of play calling. It's just embarrassing. But a win's a win. Get healthy. Be ready for the playoffs. Go Bills.
Thanks. All right. Thanks a lot, Rob. Appreciate it. I get it. Like, you can't. I mean, Rodgers is so good at that. And he checked to a play. He checked to the Hail Mary, I think. There's no doubt the Bills should have not only rushed only two players. I hope that made sense. They should have rushed more than two. But I would also tell you, I don't mind defending the sidelines, but you have to still be rushed more than two. Like, I don't know. I got to look at the schematics again and go back. Middle of the field, you don't have to worry about that as much. Just, you know, they're not going to complete a pass inbounds and get up there and spike the ball and kick a field goal, for sure. Like, the Hail Mary is a big talking point today. I get it. I do. And it was egregious from two different standpoints. One, rushing two players, and the other, not making the play. I'll also tell you that if he drops it, I don't even know if we're talking about it today. You might be like, man, why'd they rush two? Oh, yeah, forget about that. They won, you know, they won by 10 points. It's amazing. If you knock it down, someone knocks it down, right? So, yeah, it was an issue. There's no doubt. But I just think that it's something that plays happen. The other team makes plays in games, and sometimes you chalk it up to bad execution or bad coaching or both in this case, maybe, whatever it is. Still far more good than bad last night, but I know that the Hail Mary is sticking out like everybody, and it feels weird to me. When you win a game on the road in New York, Monday Night Football, and all these different things that don't even go your way, and you still escape, and yet the talk is about a play at the end of the half that actually didn't matter on the scoreboard, like at the end of the day. Maybe it's because it's a bigger problem that people have just seen what's happening at the end of games and at the end of halves, and I understand. It's just sticking with you. It's like Tyler Bass, right? Tyler Bass has missed 4 points, did not cost this team. But here I am telling you, too, they have an issue there, and it's sticking out because it's become way too much and way too often. Let's go to Dave in Florida. Hi, Dave.
How you doing there, Sal? Love the show. As far as last night goes, I was, you know, trying to wind down after the game, and all the negativity coming at the guys on the radio, I was like, come on. I mean, this is a relatively young team. It got turned over. We were dinged up. They're playing on Monday night. I mean, all the things they're up against them, and they won. And oh, by the way, that defense, they're showing some brilliance. I mean, you know, having Ratback and Johnson was amazing. Those guys played lights out. You know, it seems like as the Mafia has grown, it's gotten more pessimistic. And I'm surprised because aren't we supposed to hang with our team? I mean, you know, people going after the coach right away last night and stuff. I'm like, come on, man. I mean, nobody even in the NFL thought they'd be any good at all this year. And here they are, you know, so, you know, get real, you know, it's an NFL. I mean, you know, there's going to be plays and games and yeah, the decision-making out of two rushing linemen and the Hail Mary. Okay. But they had four guys around the guy that caught the ball. Like you said, you just gotta sometimes just gotta make a play, you know? And, anyway, I see more positives than negatives, especially since they're dinged up and stuff. And, yeah, I'm pleased, and I'm just saying, those Mafia, man, come on, lighten up, man.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, listen, I understand some pessimism coming, you know, from fans after some botched plays, some miscues, especially when you have the heels of last week in Houston at the end of the game, and then this happens at the end of the half. But I'll go back to what I said earlier, and it's true. There was far more positive than negative last night. And that's why they won 23-20. I don't know if people understand how tough it is to go on the road and win a Monday Night Football game against a division rival. It's not easy. And it wasn't easy last night, but they did. And that's what the bottom line is, that they won the game last night. Yogesh, is that how you say your name in Wisconsin?
Yes, Al, it's great to talk to you. I'm in the Bills Mafia deep here in Packer country, but
love
I'm
it.
Staying strong. I want to talk about how big a game this was. We win this game, we have an 85% chance to win the division. We lose this game, the whole talk is about our entire team falling apart and about the Jets ascending. We win a tough division game, especially on the heels of what happened last year when we went to the Jets in a primetime game. Also, I want to talk about a contrast. I've been a Bills fan for 47 years, and I've seen us lose this game more times than we've won it. My kid, she's been watching for the last 5 years. She's sitting here calm on the couch, watching everything unfold, and she's like, don't worry, Dad, the Bills got this. So we're in a new era of Bills fandom. And one last thing I want to touch on is the last 2 minutes of the game. We're not really talking about it this week like we were last week. This week we get the big turnover. We trust our quarterback, Josh Allen, on third down. We make some smart plays, and there's no drama. So I think that's a real growing moment for McDermott and the team there. And I know it's a minor thing. Obviously, you're going to run the ball three times under 2 minutes when they have three timeouts. But we didn't do something stupid like we did last week. So I think it shows growth as a team, and the division is ours. And we're on top, and no one's going to get us.
All right, man. I like it. I'm glad you brought that up, Yogesh. By the way, real quick, before I let you go, what's Packers country like right now with Aaron Rodgers? Like, what's the vibe about him and his play and being on the Jets? And are there people that still love him? Is he not liked? What's the deal there?
So the Packers fan base is the most entitled fan base out there. They got Jordan Love. So they're like, oh, we have our next Hall of Fame Super Bowl quarterback. As soon as Brett Favre was gone, as soon as he went to the Vikings and the Jets, they call him Brent. They hated him. Rodgers is gone now. They just focus on conspiracy theories, arrogance, and whatever drugs he's doing. So they get their Super Bowl, and it's dead to them. And they're the most entitled, privileged fan base. And they're not like the Bills. They don't stick with their guys. I still wear my J.P. Lossman jersey.
Ah, I love it. But I'm going to disagree with you. They're not the most entitled fan base. That would belong to the Boston sports crowd, and especially the Patriots.
Okay, I mean, it's a tough competition, but, you know, I will say this. The Packers are publicly owned. Their fans are really loyal. But,
yes, they are.
You know, when you get in that bubble and you get around, people are winning all the time, and they're trying to compare their losses to the Bills' losses, and I'm like, no. I've seen you guys win multiple Super Bowls. We just want our one Super Bowl. Give us that one Super Bowl and let us die happy.
Yogesh, thanks for giving a call, man. Thanks for hanging out. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much, Sam.
All right. You got it. You got it. We'll take a timeout here on a Buffalo Football Tuesday. The Bills with a 23-20 win over the New York Jets. I'm glad Yogesh brought up the end of the game. It is interesting to me, right? Like, lots of criticism on the Hail Mary. Not saying it's not warranted. That's the first call we had about how great they played the last few minutes of the game, actually. And that deserves to be credited to the players and the coaches all around. A lot more positive than negative last night. Yes, the negatives stand out for a lot of reasons. But the bottom line is 23-20. Enough got done to win this game and the Bills to be on top of the division at 4-2. We'll come back. We'll take a look at our Barnes injury report. And, of course, our Buffalo Football Tuesday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Stay on the line if you're there. We still have open phone lines at 803-0550.
Takes the snap, back to pass, looks to the left, has Dalton Kincaid at the 45, breaks a tackle at a 50, breaks another one as he runs over a defender, and he's got a first down, and that's got the Bills bench up and fire.
You gotta take a listen to this, it's Squawk Pod.
That's right, CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thank you.
awesome to see. That's why we drafted him. He's not going to, you know, surprise you with his speed, but he's just so quick in and out of his cuts. He's downhill, and his center of gravity is so low that, you know, he's tough to bring down, and he runs the ball super hard, protects the ball. Very proud of him for stepping up.
That was Josh Allen on Ray Davis. Allen, a lot of leadership last night that came out from Allen. I don't know if people caught it, but a lot of talk about what happened after the Deion Dawkins situation at the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter, the penalty. Deion talked about it after the game. But Allen, Josh Allen, came over to the sidelines and was kind of barking at Deion about it. And you could see he was a little bit heated up over the what was transpiring. And listen, the Bills were hurting themselves a lot in this game with penalties. I mean, the penalties were outrageous, how many were called, and so many that just should not have been called, right? Come on, what are we doing? I'm glad Aaron Rodgers at least even went public after the game and said, the A.J. Epinesa roughing the passer was ridiculous. He said it wasn't a roughing the passer. The officials last night, they became the show and took control of the game, and that should not be the case. Nobody goes there to see you, man, right? Like, what are you doing? Some of those calls were just ridiculously egregious from an official standpoint. However, the Bills did commit too many penalties, especially pre-snap. Now, you can debate on ticky-tack illegal formations. I think that's right. But don't give them a reason to call an illegal formation. It's the same thing last year with the Kansas City Chiefs, Kadarius Toney, right? Everybody's like, well, look at him. He's lined up here. You never call that. Don't give him a reason to call it. And the Bills did last night too many times. So that's got to be cleaned up. Lots of stuff that still needs to be cleaned up. Listen, it's a coach's... Everybody wants to win 40-0, right? You'd love if that happened. But I'm telling you, coaches like when they win a game and still have a lot to get on their team about. Kind of makes everything the next week, you know, still go keep the machine running, so to speak. And not let you get, you know, resting on what you did. And credit to the Bills players in the locker room. They said that. They said there's a lot we have to clean up after this game. They were not walking out. The Bills players did not walk out of that locker room and say, hey, everything's good again, 4-2, we're totally fine. It was, hey, we won. Super happy, super proud, but got some work to do here. All right, let's go to Greg in, where are you, Greg? Kensington? Kingston. There you go. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Sal, thanks so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
Love the show. Yeah. Just want to, you know, I left last night's game just trying to keep the big picture in perspective, just feeling amazed that we have Josh Allen as our quarterback. And it's just been so fun to continue to watch him grow as a leader, as you just mentioned, and hearing the impact he's had on the entire team, listening to Ray Davis's interview last night, and just how humble Ray Davis is, how humble so many of the teammates are, putting that team mentality first. I'm just really excited for this team and where they're going. You know, I just think it's important in the week-to-week reactions we have, as some of the callers are mentioning, just to maintain that optimism and think about where we are versus, you know, where we were 10 years ago. I was in kindergarten for Super Bowl 25, and that was, you know, my introduction to Bills fandom. So I'm just so thankful for this team. I think, you know, really excited. Yes, I think we have a piece missing, a wide receiver that would put us over that hump, but you know, really not far away. And, you know, the defense is continuing to play strong. So just, you know, I know fans are hungry. You know, we have been eating lately, but I know we're waiting for that Super Bowl banquet, and excited to get to that point. And I think this team's going to make it there. So just feeling so grateful for this team and just super excited to continue to watch what happens this season.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Good call. I really appreciate that. Good sentiment right there. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of it, right? Like, you know, you went through 17 years of no playoffs. It's been a really nice run here, and you can kind of get a little spoiled, I think. I think you can. There's certainly a lot of things to clean up from last night that you can criticize or talk about, but last night was still better, you know, to be on the better end there, and there was still a lot more positive than negative. But for me, it's more of a big picture. If I could do something to... Like, there's one thing I could really try to train everybody to do and inject something in you to have you do this, right? Because, yeah, I get it. Fans are fans. They're going to watch their game mostly. They're going to watch their team. And most fans, not all, they're not going to watch every game around the league. You're not going to see and break down all the film. We have people who do that and content creators and all that. But if I could train and get people to understand one of my pet peeves, but I get it and I try to implore this, and I just want you to try to understand when I say this, okay? You have to take a look at other teams too in the league. Your team is never going to be perfect. The other team has professional football players and professional coaches who get paid to beat you. And you're going to have ebbs and flows in games, ebbs and flows in seasons. You're going to have bad plays that happen, bad coaching mistakes that happen. You never want that. You want it to be perfect. But when you win a game 23-20 and more positive happens, and the talk after the game is about so much negativity, I'm like, get some perspective, man. Like, what do you think radio sounds like in Cincinnati this week? I mean, they won, right? But I mean, like, where they are. What do you think it sounds like, you know, with the Jets and everything they've done, and they've been here for so long, right? Pick a team. They're the Cowboys. It's not easy to win. Even the teams that do win don't always win. The Ravens. Yeah, they're looking great right now. They've looked really well over the last few years, and then they have stumbled in the playoffs. Get some perspective on how tough it is every week to go out there and win games, and that not everything's going to be perfect. If all you do is look at your team every week and watch your one game, and then you see all these great numbers from teams and the highlights that everybody's showing, talking about how they look at the players of the week. If you think that's like what it should be for every team, you have no perspective. Because on the other side of that is a team that lost every week. It's a team that played poorly, that had coaching blunders, that had horrible play. You know, I mean, it's just, I just think perspective gets lost. The fact that it's a league and it's a sport, there's professional players that are getting paid to beat you. Yes, we can talk about, and we deserve to, and we have to, and we have to give the space to talk about all the bad things that happen in a game. It's not all, like I said, I'm generally an optimistic guy, as you know. It's not all rainbows and roses. I get it. But I think it's a great example of somebody called earlier. The Hail Mary was brutal, right? I mean, here we've had these end-of-game situations, end-of-half situations. Here's the Hail Mary. Not a lot of people are talking about how great the end of the game was, actually, though, for the Bills. Like, they closed it out. That was good coaching. And that was good execution all around. So, you know, those things matter, too. It's not just, it's just the bad things stand out so much, I think. And you've seen them rear their head a few too many times, so they stand out so much. They also did a great job at the end of the game coaching and playing. And that needs to be recognized. Okay, let's go to Tim in Carolina. Hi, Tim. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. Thanks. Yep. I first wanted to say that a lot of people are calling for, you know, Tyler Bass to, and I'm one of them, you know, but he's got to figure it out. We just paid him. We're not ready to eat that money. You just got to hope that he figures it out with the whole Tyler Bass thing. The one player that I am kind of sick of seeing is Damar Hamlin. I really just see this guy out there running around and kind of making business decisions. Like, it's a great story. He's a warrior, you know, Bills. I get the whole thing, but at the end of the day, man, he's one person that I would really like to see, you know, Cole Bishop or somebody just step up and take the spot away. Taylor Rapp, by the way, give the man his flowers. But Damar Hamlin thing is just over for me. I'm sick and tired of seeing it. As far as the positives go, I called last week. I don't know if it was your show or somebody else's, but when Dawson Knox is included in this offense in the receiving aspect, this offense is so much better, and I'm so happy for him to get the touchdown. He's been through a lot the past couple of years and things like that. So happy to see that. And of course, Ray Davis stepping up. Are you kidding me? You know, welcome to the NFL, kid. Played a ton of college football and was great in college, but Monday Night Football, division rival on the road, and he just steps up like that. It was incredible to see. And the last thing, Sal, I do want to get your take. I don't know if it looked different from the sideline, but I thought the Aaron Rodgers fumble, no fumble, was really, really odd. Mm-hmm. If that's not a fumble, then why is it not grounding? Yep. And also, why are they immediately just like, you know, doing the air, you know, coming over and disputing that within seconds? It was really confusing. I just want to get your take on it. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it, Tim. I'm going to address this right now. I appreciate you calling and asking because, well, first of all, let me say about Damar Hamlin. The issue with Damar Hamlin is that he's not like a playmaking safety, and he doesn't attack the ball very well. He's more of a—I disagree, Tim. He's making business decisions. I think he's a physical guy. He's not shying away necessarily. Maybe you saw something last night. I can go back and look. Maybe you saw something specific. But he's not a guy who makes plays. And we're so used to having Poyer and Hyde. And last night, obviously, you know, Taylor Rapp and even Cole Bishop, you know, he made a couple mistakes, a big one in the game last week, but he was making plays off the edge. That's not DeMar Hamlin's game. DeMar Hamlin's game is actually kind of pretty well suited for what they want to do, which is keep everything in front of you and kind of live to fight another down, right? But I get it. He's not the most athletic guy, and I wouldn't be surprised or nor opposed to Cole Bishop taking that spot if Cole Bishop's ready. But I can't have Cole Bishop making mistakes that go over the top of him like he did last week. So as much as we both would like to see Cole Bishop, you're also having some risk-reward there with a rookie who made that mistake last week. Let's get to the Aaron Rodgers fumble. I agree 100% with you, Tim. I said it on the sidelines. If that's an incomplete pass, why isn't it intentional grounding? Who's he throwing it to? And I think it was actually a tuck rule that should have been a fumble. Tuck rule has been changed. It is a fumble now. That was a tuck rule. He came down, and he was still controlling the ball in his hand. And then it went down. And then it was, you know, came out of his hand. The officials obviously ruled different. What they said was his arm was moving forward. Okay, incomplete pass. Should have been intentional grounding. I agree 100% with that. But that was just another botched situation by the officials who had too many of them last night. Let's go to Mike in Lancaster. Thanks, Tim. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Got three things, actually. One is Daquan Jones. I haven't even heard his name mentioned this year, and he seems like, since he come back from the injury and being on the line there, he is just I don't even see him in the game. No pressures, no nothing with the guy. Second thing is DeMar Hamlin. If you watch the pick from Taron Johnson on that play, I don't know if we get your way you look at it, but if you watch DeMar Hamlin on that in the middle, he totally is not going with the deep man there and kind of gets caught in nowhere land. So, and then I just wanted you to see if you could take a look at that play and see.
I will say this. I haven't seen it, but I will tell you what Taron Johnson said after the game. Taron Johnson said that Terrell Bernard, because the Jets had done something where Terrell Bernard kind of had to change up the call, the defensive call late. So even Taron, he said, even he was a little bit late getting where he had to go, but he knew he had to get there quickly, so he did. And like I said earlier, DeMar's not the greatest athlete, right? So it could have been a situation, too, where he's also trying to get into his position, and now because you double down with him not being the most fleet-of-foot guy necessarily, that he's also going to be a little bit, you know, late in getting to where he's supposed to be. And, by the way, it was kind of a disjointed play from Rodgers to Williams. Apparently, Williams, like, Rodgers thought he was doing one thing and Williams did another. So I think from that perspective, it was all kind of screwed up. I get what you're saying, but that's the perspective I got from Taron Johnson on how that went down on the defensive side.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Daquan Jones. He did have a sack last night. He also had a tackle for a loss, and he was quite credited with two quarterback hurries.
Okay. I guess I haven't heard his name much. It just doesn't seem like he's been as good as he was before.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I think last year he was very good against the run and interior pressure. That hasn't happened as much. Now, he hasn't had Ed Oliver next to him in the last two games. I think that matters. But last night, though, I don't know if now is the time. Like, you can, I know that like the perspective of hearing that or seeing that, but I will tell you statistically, last night he was good. I mean, he only had two tackles, and you're not going to get a lot at D-line necessarily, but he was credited with a sack and a quarterback hurry. One quarterback. I said two earlier, one quarterback hurry. So he did show up in the stat sheet a little bit last night, Mike. And I agree with you, though, that not necessarily the full-bodied player that he was last year, but you know, maybe with Ed Oliver hopefully coming back next week, you see a little bit more of that. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, and we will continue to take your phone calls on the Bills 23-20 win over the New York Jets on Monday Night Football last night. Oh, yeah, by the way, get to the Barnes injury report when we come back after this timeout.
It's another run play, another giant hole. Cuts it back. Five. Runs over a defender. He's down to the goal line. They say he's down at the two. Ray Davis is wrecking defenders. Sauce Gardner, the victim on that one.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, real quick, Mike in Tonawanda. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Sal. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Go ahead, buddy.
So I want to make a point about the receiver situation. You know, it's really frustrating to watch guys like Mac Hollins and MVS out there every day. You know, you've got a Ferrari under center, and you're driving him down the pothole-filled streets of Buffalo instead of on the Autobahn in Germany. It's just really frustrating to watch, you know. It almost feels like wasting Josh's prime in what could be an MVP season. And I want to get your opinion on what options are even out there to kind of, you know, bump this up that are realistic. Obviously, the Devontae Adams situation fell through, and we probably wouldn't have been able to make that money work anyways. So I just want your take on either if there's any free agents that you've seen out there or, you know, what realistic trade options we have available to us.
Well, nobody is a free agent is going to come in and help this team. Otherwise, they wouldn't be free agents. There's 32 teams and they haven't signed with anybody. That tells you something, right? So the answer has to be either internally, KJ Hamler, Tyrell Shavers, they're on your practice squad, or you got to go out and make a deal for an Amari Cooper now, maybe. Or who? Maybe a Cortland Sutton, someone who's, you know, you could probably bring in, absorb on a contract that, you know, you can kind of, it can be okay for you. I would say those are the two guys whose names come up most frequently. I don't know what the other answer is other than, you know, Joe Brady and the offense doing a better job to get these guys open. I share your concerns. There's no doubt about it, Mike. I do. But I just don't know what the options are limited. You're not signing someone who's not on a team to come in and help, because otherwise that guy would be on a team already with 32 teams around the league and, you know, full rosters. That's why they're not even on a team right now, is because people don't believe they're good enough to play, right?
Sure. I'm usually a pretty big optimist when it comes to the team too. I was, you know, excited about Curtis Samuel too coming into the season.
Yeah.
You know, as everybody else was. But you know, I'm hoping that there's a trade lingering soon because,
well,
you know, especially with other teams around us, you know, adding up. I mean, even look at the Jets now after getting Devontae Adams. That's a lot scarier of an opponent to play when you've got guys like Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams running around you.
Yeah, no doubt. They're already a really talented offense, Mike. Thanks for the call. I got to run. Real quick, Barnes Injury Report is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. I can do it quickly because no injuries last night to report on officially from the Bills sideline. We'll get anything from Sean McDermott later today when he meets with the media via Zoom, but no injuries from the Bills sideline last night on the official injury report. That's your Barnes Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We'll be back after this. We'll take more of your phone calls another hour on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, presented by Catholic Health and Northwest Bank.
Back to pass. Pocket collapsing. Allen squirts away from it. Throws to the end zone. And it's caught for a touchdown. Dawson Knox with the 12-yard touchdown reception. He caught it in the end zone on his way back to Allen, who scrambled out to the left to buy time.
That was the play right after Josh fumbled. Remember that? When Josh fumbled, right? And I'm on the sidelines, and it's right before halftime, kind of. It's a few minutes before halftime. The ESPN crew was standing right near me down on the goal line. It was Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears, Jason Kelce, and Scott Van Pelt. And as soon as that happened, right after Allen fumbles and then Allen throws the touchdown, I turned to Jason Kelce and I said, that is the Josh Allen experience all in two plays right there. And he just laughed and said, oh my God, you're right, right? It's just crazy. And it was exactly that. I will take the fumble that thankfully resulted in the Bills recovering and those plays because you get the other plays. You get the touchdown then that he threw to Dawson Knox and keeping the play alive. That's the Josh Allen experience. Would you love for him to never, ever fumble, never, ever throw an interception, which, by the way, he hasn't yet this year? Would you love that? Absolutely. Love him to be perfect. But you know what you get with that? Check down Charlie, right? You get guys that just, not going to take any risks. Josh takes too many risks. We know that. But are they too many? Because the good far, 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 far and away outweigh the bad at the end result. I read a stat last night, haven't confirmed it, haven't verified, I'm sure somebody will, but I read a stat last night that since the 2020 season, I think it is, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have the exact same number of touchdowns and interceptions. And then Josh has like 20-something rushing touchdowns and Mahomes has four. It's wild. Everybody talks about Allen's interceptions. Zero on the year. Josh Allen is the only qualifying quarterback with minimum number of attempts to qualify. The only one in the league this year that has yet to throw an interception. That is wild. Who had that on their bingo card? Who bet that at their FanDuel account? Amazing. Welcome back here to the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Tuesday, presented by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Of course, all of our Buffalo football Monday and now Tuesday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com as we roll on with your calls here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you, 803-0550. A lot to get to here during the next half hour with your calls. We'll also then get to sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and our look ahead to the next game and the schedule. I'd like to go over the things that happened this weekend, but more importantly, taking your calls. And of course, by the way, we are live on the WGR Facebook page. Say hi, come aboard, see my face, got my Victory Monday shirt on, but it's a Tuesday. So make sure you check it out there, make sure you're listening, and make sure you're here all week as the Bills take charge of the division, 4-2 overall in the AFC East and in the AFC. It's interesting in the AFC, but the AFC East right now is kind of looking like the Bills to take firm control over the next few weeks with what looks like to me a very, very winnable schedule coming up over the next several games. Let's get to Casey in Youngstown. Hi, Casey.
Hey, Sal. I have 2 points. I just wanted to say that I was really impressed with the offensive line play last night. I think we've got a couple of absolute studs in Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins. I know that they both had personal fouls last night from some extracurricular stuff, but I love that type of aggression, and we definitely dominated the line of scrimmage yesterday on offense, I thought. Yeah. My second point, I know you're going to disagree with me on this because it's a little bit pessimistic, but...
It's okay. I don't have to disagree just because you're pessimistic, but I might disagree depending on what the point is. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think the 8-second defense by McDermott is just another example of cowardly coaching that could have cost this team a victory. And my other point to add on to that is how Tyler Bass is still on this team, I think, is just insane. And I know people are going to say, oh, well, you're not going to be able to find a kicker off the street that's going to make kicks, you know, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, I don't think it can be defended anymore. I know he's their guy, whatever that means, but I think the time has come. And, another thing I'd like to say is I think letting Devontae Adams go to the Jets is a major mistake. And
okay, let me address these points one by one, okay? Okay, number one, Tyler Bass, totally agree with you, talked about it. I don't know what's going to change, but the money matters maybe to them, maybe it doesn't. But I also don't know if there's anybody on the street walking in that's going to be better than him. I think that at the very least, I'm probably holding my breath with any new kicker, even more so than him. I don't really know what the answer is there, Casey. You're not wrong about that. Number two, let me take Devontae Adams. What are the Bills supposed to do? They have no money to pay him. They cannot pay his salary. The Jets are taking on his entire remaining salary. The only way the Raiders were going to trade him is by trading his salary with him. The Bills have maybe $4 or $5 million in cap space, and it's $11 million for the rest of the year. What do you want them to do?
I thought I saw something on Twitter that he had no money guaranteed this year.
No, he has no money guaranteed beyond this year.
Oh, okay.
So what would you? So how big of a mistake can it be?
Well, I guess we'll see for.
No, but I mean, what? So wait, right? So that's not a mistake then. That's just something they can't do.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a mistake to sit on their hands and do nothing.
Okay, but that's a different point then, right? Than not getting Devontae Adams. Number three, I don't disagree with you. It was a mistake by Sean McDermott to rush two players. I have an issue with the word cowardly. What's cowardly about what they tried to do, which was, hey, you know, we'd rather have you try a Hail Mary, which obviously didn't turn out, versus giving you a free 5 yards to try and kick a field goal, which I'm guessing, Casey, now maybe I'm wrong here, maybe if they give them a free 5 yards, you're calling me today and saying it's cowardly. How did you give them 5 yards for free for a field goal?
No, I wouldn't have made that point.
Okay, so what was cowardly about it? That's what I want to know. Like, you can make an argument. Now, I agree with you. They should not have rushed only two players, no doubt. And Sean McDermott said so after the game. But they had to make a decision there on how to play it. They didn't play it right. But I want to know what was cowardly about it.
I think just dropping back into that type of the coverage and not rushing four. And, you said that McDermott said he shouldn't have done that and it was a mistake. Sure, but, you know, that's the same type of defense they fell into for 13 seconds, and we know how that dropped. And, you know, that could cost us a game.
That's not the same defense they were in 13 seconds. It's totally the opposite what they did in 13 seconds. They had five guys in the end zone that tried to knock down the ball. 13 seconds, they allowed everybody to get it underneath.
Well, and we know how that worked out.
I know, but do you understand my point I'm making here? I don't disagree with you, but I think cowardly is the wrong word here. They had to make a decision. They made the wrong decision. That's not cowardly. That's just a bad decision.
I just think that his coaching is costing this team.
Obviously, and I can get that. That's your larger point, and I understand that. So you're pointing to this to make a point about being cowardly, which I don't agree with, but I do think it was the wrong call. My bigger issue, Casey, let me say this. If you're going to rush two, which I don't think they should have, I don't think you should have had those two players guarding the sidelines who they had. Those guys should be your rushers. Bring in other guys that might be on the sideline. Maybe bring in Cole Bishop to help defend the Hail Mary. At what point, Casey, I would ask you, and I'm glad you called this, because I think it's a great discussion. At what point do you blame anything on the players on that play?
I mean, I guess I don't know what the autonomy of the players are versus what.
No, I mean like knocking down a Hail Mary. Like the ball that wasn't even high pointed. It got down to his, like you, at some point, you're taught this at the very basic level of football to get your hands up and knock it down. And nobody even did that because it got through to Alan Lazard. Do they have any accountability here?
Yeah, and then people say that they should have put wide receivers in the end zone to try.
Right, I don't know. Maybe. I guess MVS could be back there. I mean, they are tall. I would be okay with that. I mean, I think there's just a lot of different ways you could go about it. It's a Hail Mary, and that's why they call it a Hail Mary, right? It's by and large, a lucky play, but you definitely could have done things different to speed him up. I'm sure not so sure, though, he doesn't get the throw off in the meantime. I understand what they're trying to do on the play. I wouldn't have rushed to. I don't think it's cowardly. I don't think it's cowardly. I just think it's a decision you have to make, and obviously it didn't turn out in their favor.
Yeah.
Are we good there? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not mad at you about it.
No, I just want to make sure. I don't want anybody to be accusing me of like being a jerk to you or something because we're trying to have a discussion. You know what I mean?
No, like I said, I knew you were going to disagree with
I don't disagree with they played it wrong, Casey. I just don't know what's cowardly about it. That's the word I have an issue with. That's not cowardly. That's making a football decision that in the moment that and you also, here's the other thing, Casey. You trust your players to make a play sometimes when you make a decision. They did make a play.
Yeah, I guess so.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Mario in Jacksonville. Hi, Mario. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, I don't want to be a dead horse here, but going back to what the other caller is saying, I think as Bills fans of the past few years, I think we're just kind of sick and tired of defending McDermott. We won't call it cowardly, but we'll just call it boneheaded or dumb decision-making, where we call the next day we get it and we say, okay, well, I guess he could have done the opposite. Then you would be calling saying, why didn't he rush two? Like, those are bad defenses. At some point, we have to have a system of accountability because these are mistakes that are not either costing the team, but they're almost costing the team.
Well, the accountability is the accountability from our standpoint is you calling up because we can't fire the coach. If you want accountability, I mean, when people say that, the accountability would hold on. The accountability would be the owner saying, "I'm going to hold you accountable and fire you." That's what the accountability would be.
Yeah, so that's what I'm calling in to say.
So you think he should be fired?
Well, let's see how this season goes.
Sure.
Right? If we're talking in February at the Super Bowl parade, then you can say that Mario guy was an idiot.
No. I get it. I mean, look, I understand. I get it all the time from people. Okay, if they fall short again, depending on how it goes, you know, I mean, there's certainly people out there that have made that point, and I understand it from that perspective on the failures of the playoffs. I guess, Mario, a lot of times I get, you know, accused of defending him because I think that there's so much more good than bad. Now, granted, the bad has stood out. Hold on. Because the bad has stood out because of the different situations and blunders at end of games. But how did you win four division championships in a row and become the second winningest team in the NFL over the last 5 years if you're not really good at your job?
Right. And I've fallen victim to being content and happy with that performance because of how bad we've been in the past. But now you're getting to the point now, and maybe you don't look at McDermott, but let's talk about, like, if you don't go out and make it receivers, do you actually think this squad can be competitive with the more elite teams outside of the East? Do you think we can be competitive? So if they don't make a move and they're failing, ownership is failing to hold coaching accountability, then, like, at the end of the day, what are we doing here?
That be a Brandon Bean point then?
Exactly. So
you want Brandon Bean fired too?
I guess just fire them all and let's start from scratch.
Okay, so yeah, right. Fire them all, Mario. Fire them all. They're 4-2 and have won four straight divisions. Fire them all.
Right, Sal. But I think the intelligent fans here are like, where? How do we fix it?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. Listen, they certainly can look around to, you know, bringing in help at wide receiver. There are some salary cap restraints, and they've set up really good rosters, and people could say, well, maybe they should have put themselves in cap situation. Well, then maybe they wouldn't have won four straight divisions. They're trying to win games, right? They're trying to win, and that's what happens in those situations. So I don't know how to fix that other than because of the constraints. A guy calls up earlier, and he's like, how could you let them get Davante Adams, the Jets? Well, because they didn't have the money to get Davante Adams. They couldn't trade for him.
Plus, that's the most Jets move ever, overpaying an aging veteran who's going to cripple you financially. So
possibly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are moves. You could look into Amari Cooper. You could look into Cortland Sutton. I mean, those moves can be. I'm not opposed to it. I think that, to me, Mario, that is there is a issue at wide receiver right now. And it even showed up last night. And I know they won last night, and I'm here telling you that. But they certainly could still be better in that area. And I do think it's something that has to be addressed in some way, shape, or form. But I don't know the answer either, given the constraints they have right now.
Last question.
Yeah, buddy.
Let me ask one last question.
Yeah.
At what point in time, because we look at Brandon Bean now, there's been criticisms of his inability to invest in the receivers earlier in the draft rounds.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in time, do the Bills, like other teams, now none come to mind to defend this point, but are you going to look to trade draft capital to maybe trade for an established receiver? We hear these rumors about Christian Kirk, guys like this who are established. If we know he's not going to go out and draft elite receiver talent, at what point in time do you do what the Jets do and look at your quarterback and say, you know what, we're going to go all in on this guy this year. We have Allen. Let's go get him.
Well, the answer is dictated by circumstance as well, Mario, right? Which, A, you can't do what the Jets just did, as I just pointed out, because of finances.
Right.
But at what point, I think it also depends on who is trading and who's not. I mean, I can't force or you can't force the Jags to trade you Christian Kirk. It may sound like a great idea, but maybe they have no interest in trading him unless you give him a first-round pick. I have no idea. Like, we don't know those things and how they go down.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not that this isn't just like you go pick your receiver and he becomes on your team magically. You know what I mean?
That's how it works in Madden.
Hey, that's right. You can build your own team, right? Thanks, Mario. Appreciate it. I got to run, buddy, all right?
Thanks.
No, good call. I appreciate all that. Like, it's super interesting today, right? Steve in Virginia. Hi, Steve. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call today.
You got it.
Hey, I just got 2 points I want to make. Before the beginning of the season with Joe Brady, I wanted to see how he would do, you know, once teams start figuring out his offense. Because we've seen that, you know, with Daboll and, you know, the guy last year, I'm kind of drawing a blank on his name, the old OC that got fired.
Ken Dorsey.
But I know, thank you. Yeah, Ken Dorsey. Because I know, like, Daboll, like, there'll be times in the season where the Bills would go through a lull for a few games, but Daboll was able to figure it out and then actually have a good run in the playoffs. Dorsey wasn't able to do that, and now, you know, three games in, the Bills got figured out, you know, by, Baltimore in, you know, last week. I mean, was a little bit better, you know, this week. Now I'm seeing, is Brady capable enough of, you know, changing up during the season, or, you know, are we kind of stuck, you know, with them? So that was one. And then the other is, of course, the wide receiver position. My opinion, Allen is a generational quarterback. Besides the year, the 13 seconds where we had, you know, Diggs, Sanders, you know, Davis, Beasley, I feel Allen really hasn't had, you know, the weapons. I mean, the last 2 years I've been feeling the Bills needed a number two. I know they tried with Davis. It didn't work out. But now the Bills need a number one and probably, you know, some other help underneath. It seems like we're going through guys like Sherfield, Hardy, now MVS. Collins, you know, so those are basically the points I wanted to make. So I just wanted to hear your take on all that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the wide receiver position is still one to address, right? I mean, look at what happened last night. They had 12 targets, 9 catches by wide receivers. The highest wide receiver total last night was 3 catches. That's not good enough. I mean, I don't know what else Joe Brady can try to do. I mean, he can, obviously, has to get in the lab and figure it out. Help, having Khalil Shakir last night helped for sure, but he also was out of pitch count last night. MVS is doing nothing on this team. Nothing. Mac Hollins he can make a play once in a while. He's out there, but you could certainly argue to do better than him. I just don't know where those answers come from, and it's something that we've kind of talked about here, you know, a lot over the last few weeks, and even with last night's game, with the win, I think it's still there. So, I'm not sure. The trading deadline is November 5th. That's Election Day. We'll see if there's something that Brandon Bean can do, but financials dictate a lot of it here. The compensation, why can't the Bills just do what the Jets did? Someone said, well, they can't trade for a guy like Davante Adams at that kind of salary. And if you want him to give up a second-round pick, that's fine. I mean, is the guy you're getting going to come in here and, you know, make that kind of an impact? I mean, you certainly hope so. It's a lot to give up. Let's go to Brandon in Buffalo. Hi, Brandon. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Real quick, I'll just get real quick to it. I hear everybody talking about the wide receiver room. The problem I have is I got a really hard feeling that the Bills are not interested in bringing in a wide receiver. Now, in the beginning of the season, when Josh started that everybody eats system, I really got the cold, hard feeling that it's more than just being is Josh Allen, and he's looking at the guys around him, and he's thinking that he can basically make the guys around him better. And the way Diggs left, I really think they have like a bad taste in their mouth of bringing any other wide receivers in, and the guys they have on their line, they're going to make better. And I really feel like it's a very scary thing because I feel like that's really going to cost us bad in the playoffs, because it's going to come down to we play the Chiefs, the Texans, somebody, and somebody's going to need to make a play, and we're not going to have the guys to make a play. But I really got the cold-hearted feeling by week 5, you said it's November 5th, I got a really, really scary feeling that we're not going to bring a wide receiver in. I don't even think they're even thinking about a wide receiver. I know a lot of people are upset and thinking, like, we need a wide receiver, but I'm telling y'all, by November 5th, the trade deadline, I would not be surprised if Brandon Bean said that was not even a thought of bringing a wide receiver, and they're going to use the guys they got, and then maybe next year in a draft or something, they'll get a wide receiver. How do you feel about that, Sal?
Well, remember the reports were a couple of weeks ago, Brandon, that the Bills, in fact, as early as last week, the Bills were one of 4 teams interested in Davante Adams, right? And then you had Marcel Reese, who was a player and an executive with the Raiders, go on Kay Adams' podcast and say the Bills are a sneaky team. So I think they're interested. I just would probably agree with you that it's more likely than not that it doesn't happen because of circumstance, you know, and financials and things like that. I do think they're interested. The question is how far they want to go to be interested. You know what I mean?
Not far enough. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm so afraid of that, Sal, because I really got the feeling that they're looking at it like, hey, guys, relax. We can get by this. We got enough guys on our team that we're going to make them better and get by this. And I'm telling you, so I was going to come down to we're going to get in the playoffs and we're going to play a team. And I'm telling you, it's going to come down to somebody making a play make and something's going to happen. And everybody's going to get mad and say, what happened? We should have had a number one wide receiver.
I know, right? I know. Thanks a lot.
Coming, man. But thank you, sir.
Yeah, you got it, Brandon. Thanks a lot for the phone call, buddy. I really appreciate it. Let's get to Ty in California. Go ahead, Ty. You're on WGR. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, man.
Good. I'm Ty. I'm just 18. I'm from Sacramento, California.
All right.
It's my first time calling in.
Well, hey, you're on the radio. Don't be nervous. Go ahead and say what you got to say, my man.
Awesome. So, yeah, I was looking at – so, obviously, kickers is a problem. I know y'all have been, like, hearing a lot about it today. But I don't know if you guys checked out this guy, Adam Botkins. He's some kicker who's on, like, social media. I know you guys can't, like – you can't see, like, consistency and stuff, but he gets some crazy-ass kicks.
Okay.
He gets, like,
are you friends with him?
83 miles an hour.
Are you friends with him? No. Do you know him?
No.
Okay. Why? I don't know anything about him. Why is he not in an NFL team?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it seems like teams just refuse to work him out. I don't know why the Bills haven't.
Okay.
Because I feel like if we could just work him out, we could just see what's up, you know?
All right. Well, hey, I mean, no stone left unturned, I guess, is usually the mantra on things like this. So if he's out there and he's good, I guess, you know, bring him in for a workout. Doesn't mean he can make NFL kicks. But right now, the kicker they have isn't making NFL kicks. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're going to take a timeout here. And when we come back, we'll run through the NFL week number six slate. Good calls today. A lot of good debate. Look, I just want to be clear here. I agree with a lot of you, like, shouldn't have rushed only two players last night in the Hail Mary. And you got to be better than that. I also want to say again, I understand what you're trying to do in that situation, to defend the sideline, not give a free kick. I'd rather, given me, let's go back in time. If I'm the coach, I'm thinking I'd rather give them a Hail Mary shot than give them a free 5 yards and a field goal shot. Because the Hail Mary is probably not going to be completed. And then it's completed. And you got to trust your players to make a better play than that. I know that, you know, put wide receivers back there. You could do that. And they are taught to go up and get the ball. But DBs are also taught to knock the ball down. That's their job. That's literally what they're paid to do. So there's a lot of things that went wrong in that situation last night. Thankfully, it didn't wind up hurting the Bills at the end of the on the scoreboard. If Alan Lazard doesn't hold on to that, we're getting like no calls on that today, probably, to be quite honest with you. Because it's kind of a, oh boy, that was close. All right, move on to the next thing. But here we are. I also think it's just super interesting to me that the end of the game was fantastic, both coaching and execution, how they played it. Or at least not fantastic, but they did it the right way, right? Execution was fantastic. The coaching was good decision-making. They ran the ball three times and did it the right way. Great play call on Josh Allen, third down, and that has to be accounted for. So I think you got to have the perspective of it all here today, and that's what we try to do and bring you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Thanks a lot for being with me. We're going to come back. We'll do sit-up, stand-down. Hey, buddy, we're going to look around the league. Week number six, wrap it up, and look ahead to our next game, which is against the Titans on Sunday.
Rodgers going to go under center here. Two receivers left, one to the right. Quick snap. It's a flea flicker. Back to Rodgers looking deep, and he's dropped for the sack. Daquan Jones says hello, Mr. Rodgers.
Just putting some out there. Hey, I just had to repost something. Check this out. Before I get to anything, I love this. Thank you. Eric and the guys at Cover One. Eric just pointed this out. Cover One. Eric Turner does a great job. His whole staff there. Okay, here we go. This is what I mean by perspective. Okay? Remember last year's Tampa Bay game? End of the year, end of the season. Listen up. Guy who called cowardly. Cowardly. Can't rush. You got to rush more than two. Listen, I agree. Should have not rushed two. Remember last year? Tampa Bay game, right? Buccaneers come Thursday night, right? Comes down to a Hail Mary at the end. Do you remember that play? Should have maybe been caught by the Bucs. It fell to the ground. Like if Mike Evans turns around or Godwin turns around, he might catch the ball. You know how many guys the Bills rushed? Four.
I thought you were about to say two.
No, they rushed four.
Wow.
The exact same thing happened. He just didn't catch it. You know what we did the next day? How can you let that happen? Horrible coaching. Get some perspective, man. Go look at it. I just tweeted it. Well, Eric tweeted it. I retweeted it. And Carl Jones, I actually retweeted what Carl Jones wrote about it. Carl Jones, who played defensive back at Syracuse, now works at Channel 4 in Buffalo, says, thank you for pointing this out. You have to execute the call. Make a play. That's right. Find the ball. Make a play, man. Two-man, four-man, three-man, five-man rush. Make a play on the ball. They rushed four last year in a Hail Mary. Everybody got all over him and criticized it because the ball fell to the earth and should have been caught for a touchdown, and they escaped it. They rushed two this time. Same thing. This time it actually turned out as a touchdown. I mean, you can't have it both ways, man. You just can't have it both ways. And again, I want to be clear. I didn't like rushing two, not against Aaron Rodgers. He's too good at that. You can't rush two guys in that situation. I agree. But I'm telling you, there's no one right way to do it, man. Make a play on the ball. You want to put different people back there? That's a different argument. Maybe a couple wide receivers, taller ones. Fine. Although Bill Belichick was on yesterday going, got to put a tall guy back there. Yeah, Bill, you put Rob Gronkowski back there in a few years ago, and he got torched for a long trick play, botch, you know, pitch it back and forth, you know, Cal Stanford thing. Anyway. All right. Enough about that. They won the game, damn it. 23-20, the Bills. Hey, you know what the AFC standings look like? Let me get this for you. I'm going to do this now as we get to the games and the rundown from week number six. I tweeted this out last night. AFC and AFC East. The Bills are first place in the AFC East. 4-2. Next best, 2-3 Miami, then 2-4 Jets. And they've beaten them both. They have a stranglehold on the division right now. You take a look at the conference. The Bills currently have the 4 seed in the conference. Top 4 teams are the division winners. Kansas City at 5-0. Houston 5-1. Baltimore 4-2. They have that over the Bills because they beat them, obviously. Bills 4-2 in fourth. And then it's Pittsburgh, LA Chargers after a big win, Indianapolis. The Bills play Indianapolis in a few weeks. But in the meantime, they have the Tennessee Titans next week. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's run through the NFL week number 6. It started off, of course, Thursday night. San Francisco 49ers 36-24 over the Seahawks. Talked about this a little bit on Friday. Really nice win by the 49ers. Looks in the Seahawks were looking great on defense after 3 weeks. They allowed 20-20-3. Yeah, that was against the Broncos, Patriots, and Dolphins. Since then, 42-29-36, and the Bills have them in 2 weeks. London calling the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams, maybe also calling for Doug Peterson. He hasn't been fired yet, but man, they have another one like that in London this week playing the Patriots. He might not come back to the United States with the team on the team charter. 1-5 now, the Jags. Bears 4-2 after a 35-16 trouncing over the Jacksonville Jaguars. A game of the week that people look forward to that turned out to be a really competitive game. Ravens beat the Commanders 30-23. In this game, Lamar Jackson, 323 passing. Jaden Daniels, 269 and 2 touchdowns. He looks fantastic. Derrick Henry, though, doing Derrick Henry things, 132 yards on the ground. Baltimore Ravens move to 4-2 on the year. Green Bay Packers all over the Arizona Cardinals. I have no idea what Arizona is or what they aren't. They're 2-4 now. They look great 1 week, not great the next. They're just a yo-yo right now. They're up and down. That's what happens when you're not a really great football team. You can make some plays, inconsistent. Packers look good. Jordan Love throws for 4 touchdowns. Not totally convinced of the Packers right now. I think that, you know, we've seen them play in other situations where you know, go back a couple of weeks. What was the game they had a couple of weeks ago? They lose 31-29 to Minnesota. They were down a little bit to the Rams. Struggle a little bit with the Colts, but you know what? Hey, they're getting the job done. But hey, big win, big game this week coming up for the Packers against the Houston Texans. Speaking of the Texans, they beat the Patriots 41-21. Drake May, his first ever NFL start, 20 of 33, 243, three touchdowns, and two picks. He also ran for 38 yards. Not a bad debut, but a couple of picks you don't want to see there. The Houston Texans without Nico Collins now. Stephon Diggs leads the way. Six catches, 77 yards, and Joe Mixon runs for 102. Texans looking pretty good so far, obviously, with Bills saw them a couple of weeks ago. 41-21. Big showdown, though, I just said, for them with the Green Bay Packers coming up next on their schedule. The Buccaneers put 51 on the board against the New Orleans Saints. 51-27. Boy, the Saints are who we thought they were. I didn't think they were as good as they were playing the first 2 weeks. And now we know. They played the Panthers and Cowboys, two of the worst defenses in the league. 47 and 44 those 2 weeks. You're like, oh, my God. They reminded me. I actually was going to tweet and say they reminded me of the Drew Bledsoe Bills back when they got him. And like, oh, yeah, this is great. And then things kind of come down to earth a little bit after teams catch up to you and you play a different schedule. They've lost four in the row now, the Saints have. And for the other side, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers look pretty good. 4-2. Bucks in a big game against the Ravens coming up this week. Sunday night, Monday Night Football against the Ravens. Ooh, Monday Night Football actually next week is very interesting. I'll get to that schedule in a minute. Browns at the Eagles. Boy, what's up with Nick Sirianni? Nick Sirianni, man, what are you doing? Yelling at the fans. He brings his kid out to the podium after the game. People criticizing him that. I guess he does it every game, though, but didn't want to face tough questions, they say. I mean, they won the game. They had some words with the fans, though, but this is maybe more about the Browns. 1-5, where are they going? Deshaun Watson looks terrible. Lost season, it seems like, here for the Cleveland Browns right now at 1-5. Colts beat the Titans 20-17. Bills face the Titans next week. I'll get to that in 1 second. Colts 3-3, Titans 1-4. Both teams on the Bills schedule coming up soon. Chargers beat the Broncos 23-16. Chargers with a nice win over the Broncos. Chargers go to 3-2. Broncos go to 3-3 on the season. They have a good defense, but the Chargers did a nice job on them. Steelers over the Raiders, all over them, 32-13. They moved to 4-2. Raiders just traded Davante Adams to the Jets today. Falcons beat the Panthers 38-20. Lions demolished the Cowboys 47-9. Jerry Jones threatening radio hosts. That's part of my sit-up, stand down. And then the Bengals 17-7 over the Giants on Sunday Night Football. All right, want to take a break here, and then we'll get sit-up, stand down. Hey, buddy, and we'll look ahead to the next game. All right, let's get right to it here. Let's get to sit up, stand down. I'm going to start with stand down. Jerry Jones on his flagship station, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. The hosts were asking him questions. And why'd you do this? Why haven't you done this? And this is what he did.
Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years, okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me. Talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
Jerry Jones in his weekly radio interview, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. I mean, what are you doing here? Are you threatening to fire hosts, or is he just saying, like, I'll take my radio rights somewhere else? I have no idea. But it sure sounds like he's doing something in that mold. If you listen to more of it, he's actually, all right, now we're ready to, now I ask some questions. Stand down, man. Stand down on your team. Everything you, the decisions you've made, they're not good. And they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, by the way. They're just not a good football team. All right, Let's sit up on a coach probably being fired sometime soon, whether that's Doug Peterson or Mike McCarthy there in Dallas. I don't know. Nick Sirianni, after what happened, he was kind of weird. The stuff that happened last week, again, they won the game. They're 3-2. Stefanski can't go, right? He's two-time coach of the year. I think somebody else soon is about to be out of a job here in the NFL with these coaches and everything that's going on in the NFL. So stand down on what happened with Jerry Jones there in the radio interview. Come on now. And then sit up on maybe some changes being made around the league with a coach here or there or somebody somewhere maybe out of a job. Let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey Buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey Buddy.
Buddy, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
My buddy is all of our buddies here. He's our buddy when he comes in. It's Howard Simon and his Mets. And I felt so good for Howard after his Mets won yesterday. But I have to be honest, I don't really envy thinking about a Subway Series if the Yankees can get there, which they got it to a nice start last night. I don't really want a Subway Series. But I'd feel so good for Howard if the Mets won. And I have other friends that root for the Mets. I get it. But I just don't want that. That's way too much pressure. That is, like, that's the Mets get there. It's like kind of like you have nothing to lose. If you lose to the Yankees, you lost to the Yankees. You win the holy cow. The Yankees, though, would have a lot to lose to the Mets in a Subway Series. But all right, Howard, enjoy it, buddy. Your team got crushed in game one. Great game two. Tonight, Yankees play game two against the Cleveland Guardians, 7:30 first pitch. My buddy, Howard Simon, I hope you had a good week. And by the way, going back to last week, though, by them making it to the NLCS, really great stuff. That happened the last time we did sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy. So great job by Howard Simon, his Mets, and feel good for him. All right, let's look ahead to the next game. It is brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. You all know I'm not a big beer drinker. Like my, you know, red wine once in a while. I had a great meal in Manhattan, had a nice glass of red wine. But you know what I really like? Seltzers. Great seltzers here. Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. LakeHour.com is the website. I know I've told you this before, but remember, Rich Pete, big Bills fan. He's a big part of this with his partner, Wyatt Russell, who's Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son. We've had him on the air. Great stuff that they're doing for Lake Hour. And the Bills play the Tennessee Titans next Sunday at 1 p.m. That's going to be a good weather game, I think. We'll have Pat Hammer on later in the week. Maybe about 65 to 70 degrees, somewhere in there. Sunny. I love it. And the Tennessee Titans, 1-4, a very winnable game for the Buffalo Bills. The Titans actually don't have a bad defense on the season. They're having a tough time offensively, especially with Will Levis. They've scored 17 or less points in all but one game. That was that game in Miami. They won 31-12. So some traps here for the Bills, you know, on their offensive side, but they should be able to take care of business next week against the Tennessee Titans. They're like an 8-point favorite right now. Once again, that is a look ahead to the next game brought to you. That's your Lake Hour look ahead for the next game brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. Trust me, you're going to love this stuff. LakeHour.com. One Bills Live up next, and then it's going to be a full One Bills Live today. One Bills Live. Show up in the Bulldog after that. I'll be back on Friday.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app